Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Now, back to the Giannotto and Jeffrey Show, presented by Inman Murphy Pest Control on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Really thrilled to welcome our next guest to the show. He is the new University of Tennessee Athletic Director. Little over, maybe, 6 weeks on the job now or so. Danny White, thanks so much for joining us. Danny, how are you?
Doing great, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no, it's probably, you know, you've obviously switched jobs in the past before. Going, you know, you're at Buffalo, then obviously at UCF before this. I imagine this transition has been not necessarily harder or easier, but certainly different than those transitions before this, just because, you know, I don't think normally you just hop right in and have to hire a new football coach and also, you know, deal with, you know, a pending NCAA investigation. What has this been like for you and your family?
Oddly enough, I've been through it before. When I arrived at UCF, I had to hire a football coach immediately, and there's also some was on the back end of some NCAA issues in football and men's basketball. So it's a unique situation, but eerily similar to what I walked into UCF. But we're excited to get my family up here at the end of the school year, and my wife and four kids. And I know they're excited about moving to Knoxville, and we're excited about the new challenge, energized about the new challenge, and think we can do some big things here at Tennessee.
Danny, obviously, as you mentioned, you've had to make hires before. But how different was it this time when you're in an SEC program? How different was it hiring a football coach versus some of the other times in which you've had to hire coaches?
Every hire is just different based on, you know, a lot of circumstances. Obviously, the state of the program, but then just the marketplace in a given year. This is a weird year coming off of COVID. You had some COVID impacted different programs in different ways. So filtering through some of that was really important, and just trying to make the best long-term decision. I think it was important that as I went through it, as we went through it, that, you know, as much as we have some short-term issues with the NCAA investigation, they're exactly that, the short-term, and football leadership decisions need to be a long-term decision. So just matching those things up was, I'd say challenging, but you know, all coaching searches are challenging. I think it, regardless of the university, the conference, you got to find the right fit for the time and place. And I think we did that with Josh Heupel.
I'm curious, as you're going through this process of your hiring, you know, because it all seemed to happen very quickly when, you know, Philip Fulmer announces his retirement, the school announces his retirement, and then it seemed as in, you know, almost like a week later, you were the new athletic director. So I imagine this all happened really quickly. I'm curious, what about Tennessee really attracted you? What about this challenge, as you called it, made it one where, because you had a nice gig going at UCF, what made you jump at this job right now in this moment?
Yeah, I did. If you would ask me 5 or 6 weeks ago if I was ever leaving UCF, I would have said no. I didn't have a whole lot of time to make the decision, but when approached and I learned how they were valuing the athletic director position and empowering the athletic director position at a place that once was one of the more iconic brands, one of the most powerful brands in college sports, and I think can get back there, that was meaningful as I got to learn about and meet with the leadership. I think we have a chancellor here in Don D. Plowman, a president in Randy Boyd, and a board chair in John Compton that are very much strong leaders, but very much aligned together in where they want to see this thing going. And I learned pretty quickly that this was a special, unique opportunity, one that probably wouldn't come about again. And it was an excruciatingly hard decision because we were really passionate about everything we were doing at UCF. And, but I think we can do something special here and restore this brand to where it should be in the national stage of college sports.
Danny, in 5 years, what would you like the Tennessee brand to be?
Competing for Southeastern Conference and national championships. I think that that's what this place did for a long time until recent years. And I think that across the board, and I'm still learning about a lot of our Olympic sports, but you have some highly competitive programs in most of the sports. Football, as we all know, can be the rising tide that carries all ships. We got to get football back to where it belongs. And I think it's going to be great for college football, for Tennessee to get back to being Tennessee, and great for the Southeastern Conference.
We're talking to Danny White, new University of Tennessee athletic director here on the Giannotto and Jeffrey Show. Danny, you mentioned that this NCAA investigation is a short-term issue. I believe on Vol calls last night, Chancellor Plowman said that the internal investigation should be complete within 3 weeks, but then ultimately the ruling in terms of whatever consequences, sanctions, whatever it ends up happening because of it, that's up to the NCAA. We've seen this trend recently more, maybe it's just been pointed out more, but it's happened for years and years of schools self-imposing, whether it's a bowl ban, whether it's whatever. Is that an option for you guys at this point, or have you considered that as you wade through this situation?
I think it's premature to think about or talk about things like that until we learn more and the investigation isn't even complete yet. I do think that this university, even prior to my arrival, has done all the right things in terms of protecting the integrity of the institution and moving things through the system as quickly as possible, involving the NCAA right from the beginning in the most appropriate way. So I think the correct buttons have all been pressed to try to get past this, again, as quickly as we can. But to most importantly, handle it the right way.
Danny, at my previous job, I covered an NCAA investigation down in Oxford, and one thing that really stood out about it was the length of it. Is the goal from Tennessee's perspective to try and make this timeline shorter than possible, or is it, is there any way you can comment on that in terms of a timeline?
Yeah, there's great leadership at the NCAA, and I look forward to partnering with the NCAA and whoever else needs to be involved, probably to a lesser extent the SEC, but certainly partnering with the NCAA to hopefully show that when you have a university that identifies the issue themselves and takes it as seriously as we have and cooperates unequivocally with the NCAA and includes them in their process, that there's a reward to that in terms of how quickly we can move through to have some certainty and put behind us.
Danny, as we focus in on football, because obviously the basketball team, they've been going through some ups and downs lately, but ultimately Rick Barnes has that basketball team humming at a pretty consistent level the past 3-4 years since his hiring. But with football, obviously you're still you're trying to find the right coach, and I'm curious. Obviously, you think Josh Heupel is that guy. If someone just asked you point blank, like, what made you hire him twice? It's not very often an athletic director hires someone twice like this, especially for a football coaching job. What made you hire him a second time?
Josh is—he's a pretty good football coach. He walked into a almost impossible situation, taking over an undefeated team at UCF, and led them to a second straight undefeated season with an entirely new coaching staff. But, I went into this search very open-minded and talked to a whole bunch of people. And as I compared things, as it got closer to decision-making time, and as I said at his press conference, if anything, I was not wanting to create more turnover and more disruption for the student-athletes at UCF. who I obviously have a lot personally invested in, and didn't expect that to be the conclusion. But it became obvious that the culture we had built there is what this football program needs, what these student athletes need, and that that Josh was the right person for the job for a variety of reasons. And so that's the decision that I made. I didn't feel like it would be fair to Tennessee or fair to Josh if I was unwilling to make that decision just because of the transition it would cause for UCF. So that's what we did, and feel great about it. I think that we're in a really great, really good spot to introduce an exciting brand of offense here to Tennessee football. And these kids are going to have a lot of fun. They already are. I'm watching them in off-season workouts every day.
Danny White, the athletic director of Tennessee, joining us here on Giannotto and Jeffrey. And then, Danny, I think a question that a lot of people have in terms of, as we mentioned, we're going through COVID and everything that we've been seeing with the pandemic. What are kind of what's the discussion amongst the athletic directors? Like, what are the expectations? What can stadiums look like this fall?
I don't know. You know, I'm optimistic. I'd love to see that we're at full capacity in the fall, but I'm not a doctor. We'll listen to the experts and the scientists on that. But I have gotten some optimistic forecasts, but I don't know that anybody knows yet what it'll look like.
Danny, I wanted to turn here locally to Memphis because obviously Memphis is, you know, it's 6 hours away from Knoxville, but there are a lot of University of Tennessee fans here in town. The University of Tennessee Health Science Center, the medical school is here in Memphis. How do you see? But sometimes it feels like because of that physical distance, it can feel, you know, a little, you know, you can feel a little separated from Knoxville if you're a Tennessee fan here in Memphis at times. How does it work here? You know, for you, how do you, you know, reach out to the, you know, this is such a diverse state in terms of its makeup across the state, but there's a lot of Vols fans everywhere. How do you, you know, sort of cultivate that the way you need to kind of have a successful athletic department?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot I need to learn about what kind of things have been done in the past, but in a post-COVID world, I look forward to getting to Memphis and for us to bring our coaches over there and get a chance to interact with fans and alumni, and that kind of thing is important. We need to get across the entire state of Tennessee, and we will do that. I understand we have alumni and fans throughout the whole state and throughout the whole country, but we're certainly going to be intentional within the state of Tennessee of reaching out to our alumni and fans.
In terms of that, being the outreach, I guess. You know, there's an ongoing, as of, I guess, next year, Memphis University of Tennessee basketball game in Nashville, but there's no contract for the future. I'm curious. I believe Laird Veach, the athletic director here at Memphis, who you know well, probably from the AAC, has said it's a priority for him to try and get that series continued. I'm curious what your, I guess, scheduling philosophy is for. And obviously, you want your coaches to make a schedule, but when it's an in-state rivalry game like that's important to both fan bases, or and I'm curious what your thoughts are on that series.
Yeah, I've learned a little bit about it. I still have some historical to pick up on. Looking forward to the game next year in Nashville. I think I would hope a lot of people are excited about it. Hopefully we have a packed building and that the doctors allow that in a hopefully a post-COVID world. I'll be talking to Laird and to Rick Barnes here, as I'm sure he'll be talking with Penny, and determine what the right move is. We're all about strength of schedule. You have to be in basketball and in all of our Olympic sports, whether it's net or RPI ranking. There's no bonus prize for the amount of wins you have if you didn't schedule appropriately. So I know that's been important to Rick, and that'll continue to be important to us as we move forward.
Talking with Danny White, the athletic director at the University of Tennessee, here on the Giannotto and Jeffrey Show. Danny, I'm curious from this perspective, when you're leading Buffalo and you're leading, you know, UCF, there's a need as an athletics director to kind of build a brand and to essentially, you know, bring the brand to the national forefront. And you did a great job there at UCF, along with the coaches that you hired. Now that you're taking over a school that is a brand, and maybe the brand's not as strong as it once was, The University of Tennessee is still a very powerful athletic department. It is a massive athletic department. How do you view the job that you have to do in terms of how you go about building that brand?
You know, every place is unique. What attracted me about coming here to Tennessee is the building proposition that's ahead of us. I agree. This is a big, powerful brand, big, powerful athletics department, but we still have some growing to do. I think operationally, we need to build our budget to fall in line with the expectation. If we want to be a top five, top 10 athletic department in the country, then we need to be funded that way. That means we need to grow some of our revenue streams and find ways to do that, engage our fan base in different ways. And we need to continue to expand upon our facilities. We want to be the best in the country, then we better have the best facilities in the country. So there's a lot of work to do. It's at coming from a higher platform, maybe, but
sure.
The same blocking and tackling that we're putting together every day at UCF applies here. And I look forward to, I'm already enjoying getting to know the donors here and the university community, and I look forward to locking arms with everyone and getting to work here.
Danny, University of Memphis football, University of Memphis football fans would not let me hear the end of it if I didn't ask you about, and I already asked you about the basketball series. The football series between Memphis and University of Tennessee has been dormant for a while. You were very vocal at UCF about these about getting non-conference games for UCF. You know the struggle that Memphis football is fighting. They were fighting it alongside with you. I'm curious how interested you are in a future University of Memphis, University of Tennessee football series, like the good old days, if you will.
Yeah, I guess I need to learn. I hadn't heard about that one yet, so I need to learn about the good old days and what we've done historically, and then we'll evaluate that moving forward. I know there's going to be a lot of ways for Laird and I to partner here in the state, and I have not had a chance to connect with them yet, but we'll develop a scheduling philosophy here. We had a scheduling philosophy at UCF, and we'll develop that here to see what makes the most sense for us to get where we want to be.
Danny, I know you come from a basketball family, and I'm curious, through your experience with the AAC, we're seeing an interesting situation right now in that most projections have the AAC being a one-bid basketball league. Is this reality something that could plague the AAC moving forward, or do you think it's more circumstantial? It's just based on what we've seen this year and the non-conference schedules getting adjusted the way that they did. Do you think the AAC, are they in a position that they haven't really been in terms of basketball that could become a problem?
Well, I think if it ends up being a one-bid league, then, yeah, they're in a position that they haven't been in, and I don't see that as a one-bid league at all. Like COVID has had impacts on things that are sometimes even hard to quantify. Scheduling is it definitely has had an impact on scheduling, and that's a very good basketball league. And I definitely see them as more than a one-bid league, for sure. It'd be a shame if that's what happens this year. But if it does, I would chalk it up to another of many, many instances, whether it's games that shock us relative to the outcome, or programs that are typically, you know, blue blood programs that are struggling this year. There's a lot of weird things happening. It's because COVID impacts different programs in different ways, and if the American becomes a one-bid league this year, I'll blame COVID. I don't expect that to continue.
Interesting. Well, we'll wrap things up like this, Danny. I'm curious, how competitive are you and your brother, Mike? Like, what are these Florida-Tennessee encounters, especially maybe in basketball, what are they going to be like? I mean, like, how competitive were you guys growing up?
You know, we're both basketball players, and, you know, competing in the driveway, I think we're competitive, I would say, as kids a lot. I don't know that we're very competitive with each other now. I don't look forward to the Tennessee-Florida men's basketball matchups because, you know, you certainly always want to see your brother have success. I want him to win every game he plays, but definitely don't – I can't want that. You know, obviously, we want to win too. So, but that's just a part of it. You know, we've experienced some of that as a family when Florida's played Duke, and
UCF. We played FAU. My brother Brian's the AD there in football, and so it's just college sports can be a small world sometimes, and when a lot of your family works in it, there's no getting around it.
Did Mike ever try to change the rules on you when you're playing in the driveway to make sure that he won? Was there any older sibling? I can say this as an older sibling. Sometimes you just got to make sure the game works out for you.
I don't know. Maybe let's say he did, just so I could save some pride.
Yeah, just so people, it's easier to root for you. Well, Danny, we really appreciate you coming on the show. Good luck with everything over there in Knoxville at University of Tennessee. Hopefully we have some good Vols football news to talk about in the fall.
No question. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you having me. Take care.
All right, that was Danny White, athletic director at the University of Tennessee. So he didn't bite on the Memphis questions. That was very diplomatic. That was very PR savvy question right there. He didn't commit himself to anything.
Danny's done one or two of these in his career.